This podcast is intended for mature audiences and is not considered appropriate for enjoyment in the workplace. However, as bad as this podcast is, we will take anyone we can get, including those who are hard of hearing.
Stop turning that damn dial. We found him. This show is dedicated to the 750,000 fans and listeners spanning from the islands of Hawaii to the trailer parks of North Carolina and over to the whorehouses scattered throughout Europe. Zip it. I wasn't finished. Of other shows and podcasts. Not my problem, people. You wanted an intellectual show that worked the brain like mental Viagra, getting old gracefully, and having a sex life like a rock star? Well, then keep your fingers crossed, because you're now listening to Alan Wolfert on Diary of a Bald Man. This follically challenged air thief and borderline coffeeholic will educate and inform you about non-penetrating, UFO abductions, developing the perfect chicken and dumplings, and how to live life at the speed of dark. Makes you wish you were hard of hearing, doesn't it? And here he is, with a voice that has you yearning to hear nails being dragged across a chalkboard, Alan Wolfert.
Yo kui, aloha, konnichiwa, half a day, and hello. Hey guys, welcome back to Diary of Bald Man. This is Alan Wolfert, and we're broadcasting semi-live from the Kwajalein Atoll, more specifically U.S. Army Garrison Kwajalein Atoll and the Marshall Islands. Today's recording date is May 6th in 2024. So as we're getting into the show, you may have saw the podcast cover and the information and wondered to yourself, who the fuck is Joshua Philpott and what has he got to do with the bald man? Well, quite a bit, actually. So as we get into it, let's step back in time a little bit. Back in September 19, 1991, Otzi the Iceman was found buried in a glacier between Austria and Italy. But what makes this so unique is that the individual, when they uncovered him, one of the oldest naturally preserved mummies, you know, he had over 57 tattoos on his face and body. And the composition of the material is from soot, charcoal, and bone matter, other things that were found in their hearth as well. So over 5,000 years ago, we're talking the Bronze Age, right? We're talking about 3,300 years before Christ was even known. Tattoos were being done. So what is the significance and the importance of a tattoo? What's the significance and importance of body piercing? What's the significance and importance of people modifying and changing their bodies and using it as basically, you know, a framework for their history, their ability to be a part of and membership into a variety of cultures, organizations, and things like that? I mean, think about the Roman Empire. Soldiers received dots on their body as a mark of their representation and identification within organizations. Today's military uses a variety of patches, colors, cords, and different things like a blue cord, your infantry, right? And then you may have on your beret, you may have the colors representing seven special forces. And then on other uniforms, you may have, you know, the Budweiser, the gold Budweiser to show Navy SEALs. So there's still markings and things that are not really using the body as a canvas, but to identify and show membership. So how did tattoos and stuff come into the United States? Great question. Back in the 1800s, sailors would bring back techniques and designs back from the Pacific. You know, these could be things from the Maori tribes, New Zealand, Samoa, Japan, and they would bring back, you know, samples on their bodies themselves as a, you know, just kind of like a sedimentary or sentimental thing from their trips, travels, and journeys. And that's what a lot of people do now. You know, you'll look at somebody and you may see a Pikachu, or you may see, you know, on some people flowers or in remembrances of, you know, tattoos and canvassing on the body, whether it's a full sleeve, a partial sleeve, something like that, even a tramp stamp, may be symbolic of something that that individual went through, survived, overcame. There's a variety of reasons. And so, you know, when we think about that, You want to think about the history, how it come about. And again, over, 3,000 years before Christ in the Bronze Age, Europeans, Egyptians, and others were marking bodies. Egyptians would mark royalty and others so that when they died and they went to that next level of existence, they could track down one another. They'd see a marking and say, oh, this is Osiris, or this is this person, or this is this person. It was to help them identify their membership or collaboration or family entity. Then when we look at it, going back again into history, in the 1800s, like I said, we had the sailors coming back. But in Japan, in 1870, they banned tattoos because this signified people in a criminal element, more specifically the Yakuza, or maybe, the Asian mobs. And the Japanese government wanted to get away from that. They wanted to get away from that image and that idea that tattoos represented a different clan that was outside the emperor's control. So tattoos, body piercings, body manipulation, all these different things had a variety of reasons. And every culture did it differently. Look at India. In certain parts of India, they tattoo women's faces blue so that outside tribes would think that the women were hideous and not attractive and were less prone to abduct them, kidnap them, rape them, or assault them. So in other times, other locations, tattoos were used to signify, a protective covering. And we wouldn't think of that today when you look at some of these people like, the Catwoman, things like that, where they go through all this manipulation of their face, their body, teeth, guys getting their teeth shaved down to look like serpents, their eyeballs tattooed black just to, epitomize or identify a different portion of them that other people would not otherwise recognize had it not been for their body canvas. So this brings us a little bit closer to Joshua Philpott and why he's so important in today's society. But before we do that, before we get into discussing Josh and my absolute love for this guy, let's take a mental break and listen to Thomas Hereduc's Caffeine Overload. This is important too, because I'd see Josh for my ink therapy and drain every bit of coffee. And for you fuckers at Black Rifle Coffee, let me tell you, you better be goddamn glad that Walmart started carrying this stuff, because that poor guy, I was having to smuggle your crap from Tennessee. I had to go to the gun range. I forgot the name of it now, over in Sevierville, grab a couple of bags, take it to Josh, and then I'd drink it myself so that when I got the shakes, he'd have to use less than Neil.
Stop the search for something intellectual and fulfilling. You've tuned into the Diary of a Bald Man. And there is no going back. Let the moaning, groaning, and bitching begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Shit Show. This is Alan Wolford. You're listening to Diary of a Bald Man. Yeah, I love that caffeine overload. That was one of the better ones that I'd heard and that people suggested I use for the show. And thanks to for everybody for your suggestions, comments, emails to diaryofabaldman1968@gmail.com. God bless you, love you, and let's get back into Joshua Philpott and who the fuck he is. So people find tattoos relaxing for a variety of reasons. There's the therapeutic expression. For some, getting a tattoo is a form of self-expression or therapy. The act of choosing a design that holds personal meaning can be cathartic and empowering. Whether it's a cartoon, a caricature, it could be something that they saw one time but affected them in an emotional and a physical manner that they wanted permanence. And I've seen others that have had traumatic events, you know, like their born date or, you know, the date that something happened that was significant, childbearing, marriage, things like that with their wives. Others do it for focus and mindfulness. The process of getting a tattoo requires concentration and focus, similar to mindfulness practices. And it causes the individual to temporarily disconnect from distractors or stresses and focus on that moment, you know, what they're going through, what they're feeling, the sensations of, that's going through it. Others do it for endorphin release. The sensation of pain during tattooing triggers the release of endorphins, which are natural pain relievers and mood enhancers. This can create a euphoric feeling, often referred to as a runner's high, which contributes to a sense of relaxation. And I've known many people, including myself, that when they're highly stressed or highly discombobulated emotionally, going down for ink therapy really does help. You know, for others, it's a symbolism and significance. Tattoos often carry deep personal meanings or commemorate significant life events, the passing of a friend, the time in military. And these can be comforting, provide a sense of closure or continuity. Others have artistic appreciation. You'll see this in a lot of guys in construction, veterans. Many people appreciate tattoos as a form of art. Admiring the skill and the creativity of tattoo artists during the process can be enjoyable and relaxing. That's what I got with Joshua Philpott. We'll get into that in just a moment. With others, it's empowerment and control. Choosing to alter one's body through tattoos can be empowering, as it represents a positive decision made for themselves. A sense of control over their body can be comforting and relaxing. What is surprising for many is that if you look it up, people that have been sexually or physically or emotionally assaulted will get tattoos. Sometimes they'll have a place, a date, or an individual's names because in their mind, they're controlling that situation now. You have to Google that. And it seems to be therapeutic for quite a few people. Similar for those with PTSD. They feel that if they take the time, the location, or the event, and they mark it onto their body, they can cover it any time with either a sleeve, a shirt sleeve, a hand or something, and that they're in control of that situation, not the situation, you know, continue controlling them and their mindset. And then others with community and connection. Like I said, with mine, you know, on my right arm, I got the state of Montana. I got Tennessee, my connection to them. And again, I'm going to be adding Guam, Hawaii, Philippines, Alaska, other places where I've at, where I grew and developed in those locations, learned about cultures, learned about lifestyles, learned about things that are, you know, indicative of who I am today and what made me a portion of what I am today. You know, that's one of the reasons I love being, you know, a contractor and going places. You constantly evolve, you constantly develop and develop new connections. And that's difficult for me being an introvert. So I have to get out there and I have to force myself to get into these social experiences. So whether it's with friends, family, fellow enthusiasts, sharing this experience with others can create a sense of belonging, relaxation. Like I said, in other cultures, you know, tattoos could represent your entering manhood, womanhood, being a part of a group or society. You know, I'm not talking about like private society, things like that, but tribal things, you know, some of the things you may have accomplished as a hunter or a fisherman, something you may have done for your village that put you up there, you know, not as royalty, but saying, hey, I accomplished this And it's something that people can look at and say, hey, he did this, he surpassed this, and was able to be given that mark. Others have that physical sensation. Some people simply enjoy the physical sensation of being tattooed, finding it soothing or even meditative. And again, because it's a controlled stressor. Yes, there's pain involved, especially when they hit certain nerve clusters. You know, if they're along certain parts of the body, the back, the spine, the face, the neck. You know, it's like I said in previous podcasts, some people look at masochist and submissive and think there's some kind of dynamic that's just fucked up. But no, there are some people in a submissive thing that like to get spanked or foot torture, things like that. I don't want to take you on a kinky side, but I want you to think about the relative thing about that pain is enjoyable to them. Whereas something like that we might like, tickling or rubs or things, may be painful to them. There's some kind of disconnect in the nervous system and in their brain that says this, which would normally comfort another, rubbing the back, rubbing the belly, rubbing the thigh, may be painful to somebody else. But the pain sensation that we feel would be something that relaxes them, be something that takes their stress, and they feel like they've let control go to somebody else, and they're allowing them to have that sensation. So again, different people, different mindsets, different reasons. And then lastly, in the research I found, there's aesthetic appeal. Beyond that personal meaning, beyond some individuals find tattoos aesthetically pleasing. The sight of beautiful artwork on their body can bring a sense of joy and relaxation. Look around. You'll see numerous people have works of art, the Mona Lisa, different things by Monet and other famous artists. I've seen back pieces. I've seen chest pieces, you know, that were symbolic of statues, you know, original paintings of just humorous things. And it was appealing because it gave you an insight to that person's personality, mindset, and history. People are a walking billboard. You know, they've got the ear piercings. They've got their style of clothing they prefer. They've got their inks, brands, whatever it is, but that is something about them. Think of them as a human library. All you've got to do is look and get a small, just inkling about that individual, pain and suffering they've been through, experiences they wanted to share with others, or things that they wanted to highlight and bring to your attention. You know, when we think about this a few years ago, and here's why Josh Philpott give a fuck. So who is Josh Philpott? Why do you give a shit? Well, he's an Army veteran, a medic, husband to Lori. He's a father, artist, firefighter, full frontal hugger. Love that shit. Trauma relief expert, coffee snob, and a friend. I love this dude like none other. So when I first met Josh, we left our house in Dandridge, Tennessee. We were looking for a tattoo place, originally for little man, Skyler. And Rhonda wanted to get some work, and she still wants to, and I wanted to. I needed the ink therapy. They were wanting to add to their canvas, you know, historical things. Rhonda wanted something to signify something that was representative of her father. Little man was getting something representative of his grandfather, but something for him as well. So we all had ideas and concepts of what we wanted and what we wanted to get put onto us. And we looked up and found the Crater City Ink that was in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. And I'd been up there before because I'd done Hazwoper training with people from Smithfield, the pork facility. So we took the 2-hour drive, headed up that way, had no appointment, but we got in there and met Josh, and it was bro love at first sight. I'm just surprised we didn't copulate, roll on the floor and hug and sweep each other's feet from under, because it was just that great of an experience. And then we got coffee going, and the coffee was better than any liquor, because I loosened up and it was like, you know, the bromance began. If I had flowers, I would have proposed at that time that he'd be my lifelong ink therapist. But, you know, getting back into it, we looked at some of the work that Joshua had done there in Crater City. You know, now he's moved and he's doing Built for Comfort Tattoo in Manchester, Kentucky. I have no fucking idea where that is. It's north. It's like 4 hours away. It's like, Jesus Christ, when I get home, I'm going to have to get a lot of work done at one time. I'm just going to book him up for 2 days, go in there, get me a tramp stamp, that says confined space permit required for entry, you know, in case any doctor's checking my prostate. That'll give them something to be amused by, I hope. I guess I do need to make some permits. Anyways, so to get back into it, you know, one of the things that we notice on some of Josh's photographs and things, you know, if you look, you may see people have other tattoos covered up. So what Josh does is he takes away that expression from that time frame that person was there and brings in something new. You know, it, they could be covering old flowers, girlfriend's name, boyfriend's name, dead dog, hamster, whatever it is. And he'd bring them into the moment. And so I think that form of rework is also a beautiful type of expression, because they're covering or removing something that does not bring them joy or remembrance that they want to hold on to. They're replacing it with something more aesthetically pleasing that's more evident in their life today. And I think that takes a lot. I think that's great to see it happen. I've seen some of the work where it's covered up scars, you know, and turn something that would be a remembrance of something painful into something beautiful. I've seen some really cool scar tattoos that look like zippers. Like you could just reach down, and the way they do that dimension with the ink and the shading and things like that, it just looked cool. I've seen tattoos on people that had knee replacement, and it showed gears and cables and pulleys. I mean, there's some badass stuff out there. I know of two amputees who's had tattoos representative of, you know, different portions of their life, where right where the amputation occurred, you know, they may have something humorous or something that's just anecdotal, because they say, hey, you know, I get these ghost pains. There really is no fingertip. There really is no foot. And so they put something down, so when they're in pain or suffering, there's something more pleasing to look at. It says, okay, yeah, that's not really there. This is now. Josh Philpott is a genius. I don't know how else to put it. Josh, I know you're fucking listening to this. I know you're drinking the last of the fucking coffee and you're sitting there because you got your broke ass all worked on with your back surgery. I love you, brother. But what I want you and other tattoo artists to know is what you're doing is not covering a person with intricate art. You're telling the story of their life with that intricate art. You're helping other people to understand there's something out there greater than them, but you're giving it to them in a way that they can hold on to, you know, forever, to show their kids, you know, hey, this right here was actually right above my titty, but everything sank, so now it's south of the border, whatever. You're one of the best dudes I ever met. You helped turn trauma into beauty. You helped make things that were beautiful, extravagant, and priceless. The things that you've done for me and my family cannot be undone. Never will be undone. They won't be covered up. Fuck that. If my arm gets amputated, I'm going to tell him, fuck him, put that in the freezer, and we're going to keep it and see what you can do. I'm kidding. I don't want you messing with that shit. But anyhow, what I want you guys that are listening, don't just think of Josh. I mean, go to Manchester, Kentucky, get you some ink done. Don't do it next week. He just fucking had back surgery. You know, leave him the fuck alone for a little while and let him heal. But Josh, if you get something that can help your broke ass lean over in a comfortable position, do ink, do that, you know, because again, you have to think about yourself. How are people, you know, I have the Diary of Baldman, I have the podcast, but then I've got other artists who can look at my life and say, hey, let me put this into an image so other people understand. So other people, some of it, you know, people look at it and say, hey, what is that? They look at the Montana one. It's not fully filled, but they see the representation of the mountains, the Glacier National Park that I love, the moon up on the side. And they're like, what's the history on that? Well, that's where I'm from. That's where I was born. That's where, you know, things came out. And the compass represents my life since being born. I'm traveling. I'm wandering. I'm looking for that next location. My next location is Tennessee. This is a pit stop to refuel, refill, and finish out my career. You know, if another opportunity comes up, that'll be discussed with the wife. But I won't go until I get some more ink. I promise you that. So am I telling you to go get ink done? Yes, I am. Am I telling you to disfigure your body? No, I'm telling you to make it a work of art. I'm telling you to get out there and feel what ink therapy is all about. Release those endorphins. Put something happy. I don't give a fuck if you get Pac-Man, you know, because those old bastards, that's one of the things. Remember standing around game rooms, playing pinball, doing things like that. Put some history where it's available to others. That way you're not having to talk. If they say, where are you from? Hold your arm out. Say, hey, state of Tennessee, state of Alabama. No, don't fucking talk about the state of Alabama. I'm just kidding. You know, the state of Alabama has done a lot and is continuing to do a lot for people to get ink. So Dr. Tiffany Mayo from the University of Alabama in Birmingham is looking for safer ink substitutes for people like Josh and those that, you know, start slinging their work on the body. One of the reasons is that red ink is usually avoided because they are most likely to cause rashes, pseudolymphomas, and it's because of the mercury content. So Dr. Tiffany Mayo and others at the University of Alabama, roll tide. You know, just, I'm just throwing that out there because you're making my tattoos safer. Thank you guys for looking for the, not only the artists, but the recipients and the canvases. Take a minute. Think about it. Scribble down an image you really like. Think about something where you'd want it on your body to represent that wild part of you, that historical part of you, or that fun side of you. And then go get your tramp stamp too. Fuck it. Get a tramp stamp. Get a full sleeve. Don't get it on top of your feet. Don't get it on your fucking ear. Don't do your eyes. I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, it's not ridiculous. If it's you, it's you. I mean, think about women that get the cosmetic ones. Shave off their fucking eyebrows and have eyebrows tattooed. That shit's got to hurt. You know, you ladies have balls the size of my fucking head. I don't know how you do it. You know, get something representative of you. Be the masterpiece. You've already done great things. Now let other people know it. Be the backdrop to your life. Be the backdrop to your future. Hey, what's a goal? Like on mine, you know, I've got Montana, Tennessee. I've got the turtle representing long life and then the feather with my kids in it. What's the next step? I want to add to that. I want my life to be meaningful. And when I die, that fucking person embalming me is going to be like, what the hell is that? You know, what does that mean? And it'll make them curious and it'll make them research and possibly do something for themselves. Plan, prepare, communicate, and engage. Think about your life. Think about how you want to live it. Represent it either in the written form, the artistic form. You know, everybody has something great inside of them. Let everybody know. Show it to them. Do a podcast. Write a book. Write children's books. Get ink done. Draw pictures. You know, I mean, there is so much talent in this world, but people are afraid. They're afraid that they'll be shot down or told you're not good enough. You know, if you do karaoke, sing. Do something with your life. Do something and share it with others. Because right now, everybody is, you know, shattered apart because technology. Faces down on the phones, iPads, shit like that. Hey, go get a tattoo and have a TikTok at the same time. Say, yeah, this shit hurts, but I like it, you know, while you're gritting through your teeth. Plan, prepare, communicate in various ways, but engage in life, especially your own. I love you. Now get the fuck out of here and enjoy the rest of it. Josh, Lori, we love you guys. We miss you. Every time I drink a cup of coffee, I feel like I'm fondling you and that heat is your personal presence. Hope to see you soon. Thank you all for listening. Please like, share, subscribe. Send an email, diaryofballman1960@gmail.com. If you want to know more, like, rate, subscribe. Hey, let others know. If you don't like us, tell us that too. Tell us where I can improve. By us, I mean me and the, you know, three other sides to me, I guess. The introvert, the extrovert, and the pervert. Goodbye.
Alan Wolford has produced this podcast for entertainment purposes. Neither this nor any other podcast he produced constitute legal, medical, marital, sexual, or professional advice. The opinions and views presented by Alan are his own and do not reflect the views or opinions of employers, clients, family, Facebook groupies, promotional sponsors, or baby Jesus. Any health information shared or mentioned as an alternative does not create any patient-physician relationship or other professional relationship between the audience and the presenters. No person listening to any podcast guests from this rocket surgeon should act or refrain from acting based on the content of a podcast without first seeking appropriate professional advice and or counseling. Nor shall the information be used to substitute for professional advice and counseling. As stated earlier, this show is for entertainment purposes, not how to lead or change your life, do what is best for you, or what your spouse approves of. Alan Wofford and all guests of the show expressly disclaim all liability relating to any actions taken or not taken based on any and all contents of this site.